Alright, what is up everybody, and welcome to the first official episode. Oh, we have a dog in the background already. I'm so excited. This is the first official episode of Whatcha Doin' that we are recording in Smoky Vibes. I'm here with my co-host Bird.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, and I'm here with special guest Breed the Loke.
What's happening, peoples?
With him, his brother.
Cousin. Yeah, it looks cousin. Like my brother. My brother, man.
Okay, cousin. Now I know that. That's what these are for.
Yeah.
Right? All right, and we have no one else with him, which is a person, instead of what that sentence usually means. How you guys doing?
Not bad, man.
How you doing?
Doing great. So we're in Smoky Vibes.
Yeah.
You've played here.
Yes, I've done a few shows here already, I think.
That's dope.
At least a handful.
At least a couple.
Yeah.
Enough that you're like, yeah, I've been here before.
Yeah, I haven't been on the new stage yet. That looks sweet. That's next month.
That was a great shout out to Ryan for letting us use his venue all the time for all of our endeavors.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Smoky Vibes.
Smoky Vibes. All right, so you had an album just come out.
Yes, I did.
LODB.
Yep.
Last of a Dying Breed. I love it.
Thank you.
Where'd the album come from?
It was
the biggest question I can ask you.
It was a real long process. It was that thing was in the works for a long time. It was
like three years.
It started out just just making solo tracks, to make them a lot, and some of them would turn into group tracks and some of them would stay solo tracks, but it just started out as a handful, and then it ended up turning into like 40 songs, and then had to break it all back down to, I think I ended up with like 13. Yeah, so
that's a lot of cutting, just moving around.
Did
a lot of that content go to other projects, or
all of it is? Yeah, all of it's going to other projects.
That's
some of it went to various mixtapes that we're doing, and then other stuff is just getting held off for later albums and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
That's awesome. So I've listened to it four times now, five.
Nice,
maybe.
Thank you.
He's listened to it twice.
Nice.
What do you think of the album, Bird?
I really like it. Leave me alone.
Get on the fucking
Don't
mic.
Touch me.
Get on the fucking mic.
I really enjoyed it a lot, especially the last song, The Last of a Dying Breed. And then just a lot of the sound effects and spacey noises that are peppered in throughout it.
Yep. It's a really cool aesthetic, I think, musically. Like with the elevator stuff, too.
Yeah.
All of that comes from this sort of alien point of view. And when no one else made the logo for my stuff for ASC Presents, it's like a little black alien, like emoji almost. It's super cool.
Hell yeah.
So like, you can the alien, the outer space influence is definitely there.
Yeah. You can hear it. Because, I mean, a lot of that, it started getting cut whenever we were still working on Elevator's project.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that influence is all definitely still very much alive in that project, you know?
Okay.
So
yeah.
You can hear like some of the later tracks, you can start to hear where it's it's still all very present in that project, but you can definitely tell that it was all during that time period, you know, a lot of it. So
for sure. And we're going to talk about the songs in depth, and then I'm going to play a song for the listeners to hear after we've discussed it, and we'll just move like that through the album.
Right on.
I'll start with a couple interview questions.
Hell yeah.
Like, what are the three most influential artists to you?
To me, influential artists, damn.
Yeah,
top three. That's rough.
No, it's not that bad. Like, Brother Lynch Hung and X-Rated are up there at the top.
X-Rated's
amazing. Just because, like, I mean, I started on them when I was in grade school.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And let's see, after that, who would it be? Probably Redman is up there at the top, and I'd almost have to give the last spot to M.
Yeah?
And I know that's four, but I kind of lumped in Lynch and Rated together
course.
Just because the whole black market movement back then.
Yeah.
But I would say that. Probably Lynch and Rated, Redman, and then M.
Nice. Probably. I like that list.
Yeah.
Hip hop history quiz, Bird. Do you know why X-Rated is so cool?
No.
He went to jail for music.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they got him on.
Yep.
His album made it sound like he did things he probably did. But the evidence is, well, you said you did it in music.
Yep.
Which is this wild free speech case that I'll have to indoctrinate you into the whole discography of. But it's crazy to go to jail.
Yeah, it kind of ended up setting precedent
music.
For other cases, I think.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first of its kind.
Yeah.
You know, back
no,
then.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
He records a lot of music, like, through being in jail.
Oh, yeah, right? he released,
like, yeah, he
so many albums.
I heard the story as he was doing like the recording through the, yep, the visitations.
Yep. That's well, wild. On the Exorcist album, you can totally hear it. It yeah, sounds can, like he's on the phone.
It sounds like he's on a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he just
wild.
Got released, man. He's touring now.
Wow.
He finally got out.
That's cool.
Yep.
That's crazy. So that's a great answer. There's a little tidbit for you, Bird, and all of you listeners at home who don't know much about hip-hop history. What song got you into music?
Oh, man. Just in, like, music,
do you
period?
Remember,
or into...
like, do you know can you remember, like, the first song you heard that you were like, yeah, I like this?
I remember the first song, like, because my mom would tell the story, and I think I even reference it in songs, where I'm sitting in the back of her car and we're driving along, and Janet Jackson, Escapade, is on the radio, and I'm back there and I'm listening, I'm singing along,
yeah,
but I'm making up my own words as they go, and she's like looking over her shoulder through the fucking rear view like, what the hell is this kid doing? And so that one always sticks out in my mind, just because that's like a concrete story that I remember,
yeah,
that I'm like basically freestyling as like a 6-year-old kid in the back of my mom's car, you know? So
yeah,
that
I love it. I made a note down about that lyric,
yeah,
too, when talking about that song,
right,
in my
right.
notes here.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, it talks about like the influences,
mm-hmm,
that brought you here. That's dope. Let's see. So are there any particularly strong songs on your project? Like, do you have like a favorite that you think just goes the hardest, or maybe it's
see.
The deepest?
One of the deepest for me is probably AA, just because like that's me taking on, like, and I know, and it's still a struggle, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I know,
yeah,
that I'm still drinking beer, but I know that, you know, that song is me tackling that demon and saying that there is potentially a problem, but I'm telling everybody else, you don't get to tell me it's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm gonna deal with this problem on my own. So I think that's probably one of the ones that was really at least emotional to write and put down.
Yeah.
So that's probably the deepest one, I would think, just to myself, you know.
I think it's my favorite on the album.
Nice.
I've listened to that track more than the other ones.
Yeah, I really like that song.
I'm just a stoner, and there's like this relatable line where you talk about like, oh, it could be worse. Like,
right,
you like kind of mention that, well, it's not like I'm doing meth.
Exactly.
And that's sort of the way that people like me who deny that they're addicted to weed get
right.
over it, is by going, well, it's not like it's meth.
Exactly.
But it's something that it's fine to do. Like, everybody has their poison. Like, if you're
mm-hmm.
poison and you can handle your poison,
yep,
then go for it.
Yep.
But if it's a problem, you shouldn't.
Well, once you start seeing it take stuff away from
yeah.
you, or take time away from, you know, special people in your life and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
Then yeah, it's definitely something you need to like step back and look at. Do I need to change this?
Yeah.
And nobody can change it but you. That's
yeah.
that's the worst part about it. Like, you can be forced into facilities and stuff like that, depending on what your vice is, but nobody's gonna make that change unless you decide to for yourself. So
absolutely. Like, very, very well said. So are there any, antithesis to my last question, are there any songs you almost dropped from the project? Now I know that there are a ton of songs that you had to drop and move around and stuff. Are there any final contenders?
Though, some of those, they got dispersed into another project.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like moved around and stuff. Yeah, not just cut.
No, these ones, all of them I actually refused to. Those were
like,
making it regardless.
It. Like,
those were it, yeah. The only thing that didn't end up happening, because originally I had a plan for all these weird intros and skits and stuff like that, and they were gonna be really weird and eclectic. They weren't gonna have anything to do with the songs.
Yeah.
Like, it was just gonna be just me bullshitting with, like, say, Gabe or fucking somebody else about, you know, about video concepts, being like, oh, well, we should do one Star Wars, and we'll have the Death Star, and we'll have this, and then, you know, Gabe be like, well, we don't even fucking have the money for that, and be like, well, fuck it, drop the track. But so
well,
all those got dropped because we just ended up, I felt like once we did the final listing, everything just kind of flowed together so well that
yeah.
it seemed like that's the way that it was supposed to go. Even from 4 minutes being the opener to LODB being the outro, it felt like an intro and an outro, even though they were actual tracks, you know? So
yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, all those ended up just being, those were going to stay regardless. And then it just got thinned out the herd from all the rest of them, so.
Okay, nice.
And with that note, I mean, that brings up the issue that we were going to have
right.
releasing the album through all digital
right.
Platforms, you know?
Yeah, that goes back to, like, yeah, other people who do music, because it's really easy to jump on any of these beat sites and pay that $30 for that lease.
Yeah.
But just know if somebody else puts that shit on iTunes before you do, you're gonna have a fucking waiting process, because that's what it was. We thought we were all good, and there was one guy from France who had put one on fucking, who used one of the beats that I had used and put it on iTunes, and it was just gonna be more hoops and more time of going through iTunes and verifying it with them, showing them that yes, I do have the legal right to use this. Yeah. And I was at a point where I was like, you know what, we're dropping it. I don't right. I'm not gonna fucking jump through the hoops for them. So
I mean, we were thinking, well, what if we cut those three tracks and it just still put it out there, you know, if we cut the three tracks. But like he said, everything flew, so it was, so it's like it's just meant to be, like
this is the story I'm telling.
Take one of those if you take one of those out, it's just gonna
just took away from the album.
Exactly. Yep. So
it's worth the difficulties.
I thought so.
And he's out. We're winning.
Right.
That's the way we look at it.
Moving forward, do you have a different like view now on how you would do in-house versus leased beats?
Basically it's just gonna have to go out and it's worth it to pay that extra money to get the exclusive. I mean, it's gonna be more. A lot of it too comes down to I was getting beats, like just a lump sum of beats at a time, and I was paying so much for just, say I get these 10 beats and I didn't know whether I was gonna make a song to it or not, and then something would spark from that, and then I'd have like these 8 other that I ended up not doing nothing with. So that's where it came down to just buying that easy lease. From here on out, it's gonna be exclusives, or you know, people that I know in-house, because unless I'm gonna be the first one to drop it, but I'm gonna make the song and drop it like that week or whatever, to where I'm not gonna have that difficulty. But it was definitely a learning process, because we didn't all the elevator stuff was in-house.
Yeah.
So we never had that issue, and this was my first solo project dropped, so it was, you know, it's all a learning curve.
I had assumed it was in-house just based on passwords from those
right
guys. And I was talking to no one else right before this, and that's when I found out about the lease issues and the fact that they released beats. It's wild.
Yep. No, I stepped out to try to get a kind of a different sound, or at least have more access to, because when you're dealing with in-house, like you can have really talented people around you who can do a lot of things, but you're always going to find that one thing that they can't do. And I was looking for that. I was looking to kind of find a bunch of different sounds.
Shit that we sucked at.
Yeah. No, I get it. I play around. I pretend to make music, you guys. So I get it.
It's a process, man.
Yeah. All right. The first song is 4 minutes.
Yep.
The track starts the album off hot and hard with a ton of clever multisyllabic lines in a fantastic bars for 4 minutes format. So, Breed, you run a lot of front and back end rhymes throughout this song, which I thought was really impressive. It's like a showcase of what is to come in the album.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any specific thoughts on the track, 4 minutes?
It was a test for me. It was like, I just came out and was like, let me take this song and not do anything but just hit it as hard as I can from beginning to end.
For three
and just,
minutes or 5 minutes or six.
Yeah, because I think the entire track's like 4 minutes and right around 4:20 or something like that. And
that's fun.
Yeah, it is.
Fun number.
But I think I start about 10-15 seconds in, so I might not hit it exactly on 4 minutes, but it felt good. So
no, it sounds good.
Yeah, it was more just let me fucking display what I feel is my lyrical prowess and what makes me a dope MC, and because obviously I'm going to try to hit people with emotional tracks and stuff like that as well, but I wanted to come in real hard on that intro and just fucking hit it. And I mean I draw a lot of inspiration from B.O.B. always had really dope intros on all of his albums where he would just hit them real hard with the hard track. So I mean, there's a lot of artists out there who do that, and that's kind of where it came from.
It was just, like, you got a beast mode. Sometimes.
Yeah, just go beast mode on it, fucking grab their attention, and then maybe they'll stick around for some more songs.
Fire the dragon.
Sure. Well, sometimes you just write shit that's just so dope you don't want to stop.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't need a hook. You know,
Royce has
let's just keep going with this and let him hear it. Let him check it out.
Royce da5'9" has a quote about how if he doesn't write to a timer, he'll vibe out to a 9-minute song.
Yep.
Like he'll just keep going if he doesn't write to a timer.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Well, and I can't internally count bars either.
Yeah.
Like I just can't. There's a lot, like I've had people sit there, oh no, counting bars is easy, just this and this and this. And I'm like, I just go till it feels like it's done. And then hopefully fucking I didn't overstep and go farther than what people wanted me to go on the, especially if it's a feature.
Yeah, no, totally. You
know? But
Breed the locust in this motherfucker. No Six Records in the house if you didn't know. Now you know. Nah, I don't really got a title for this or nothing like that. I'm just gonna go off. All I need is 4 minutes. whole minutes. Yeah. Who fucking with me on this rhyming tip? I've been grinding since way before Connie was trying to find a tip. Shining without the diamonds, a blinding light was inside the kid. Back when common was commonly competing, it's common sense. I completely demolished comp with a common grin. Confident in my conglomerate kamikaze shit. I cop a beat to combine it with cockiness and construct a concoction comparable to common. I'm at highs, bitch. Constantly causing a conflict, cause I'm hot shit. By the standards, I'm mighty trying top rhyming. But it's not a filet mignon's inside me. I'm just riding for mine, the rest of y'all can ride dicks. Cause I'm sick of surviving. Magic Johnson, positively most promising prospect in my conference. They keep talking as if they boss until I clock in. Button naked, swinging a wrecking ball like a Miley. Try me.
The next song, track two on the playlist, the track list, is Son of Sam, which is a more classic hip hop origin story to me. What's the inspiration to take for that? Like, it's sort of a throwback. Like, this is how I got here.
Yeah.
Anthem for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's my, I love storytelling, man. Like, and some of my favorite rappers are fucking, you know, prolific storytellers. Like, yeah. Redman, Biggie, one of the best storytellers, you know? And so that's what that was for me, was let me, I got done with the bars. Now we'll fucking hit them with my story. And I start from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? I start from whenever I'm fucking 6 years old, you know? And, you know, kind of jump, in each verse I jump probably about six, seven, 8 years, something like that, I think. I think I start off at six, go to 14, and then to whenever I'm fucking 30 years old, grown up. So it was really fun to tell, man, to go through all those stories, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I
snuck in a story about my first boner in that fucking song, man.
Yeah.
That the whole fucking whenever people listen, if you hear the line about Sofia Vergara walking across the beach for a Diet Pepsi, that's the story about my first boner. That's another story my mom told me, because
that's amazing.
Back in the fucking 80s, there was before she was famous, she was just a model, and she did a Diet Pepsi commercial. You can still look it up on fucking YouTube. It's still there, and she's walking across this hot sand. Ooh. And I guess I look up at my mom, and I'm like, "Mom, my pee-pee's hard." And she busts out laughing and changed the channel. You know what I'm saying? But
that's amazing.
You can't watch any more commercials. Yeah.
Backseat of my mama's ride, a baggie filled with tricks. Fitted with harsh cars, precautions, some crazy kicks. And lit up every time that me and He-Man did amazing flips. Anyway, the radio was playing 80s hits. And up next in the mix was Janet Jackson Escapade. And this was the moment, the omen of Breathe the Locust. The game begins, is when it started to play. Open up on the brain, it's this some crazy shit. Maybe not crazy, but changing the words and making sense. Creative with language since little Ricky had a baby dick. Getting harder, so we have a car, taking a baby steps. Cross the beach for a bottle of Diet Pepsi, and made me flip. I'm getting a topic, but basically what I'm saying is most of these rappers faking it, but I was made for this. It's later spit like a reaction to cannabis when you blaze a spliff. I'm making this game my vision, ain't no way to just fuckin' take it. I'm a trippin' young man with a dream and a plan. A destiny that's up for grabs on the stage. You ain't fuckin' with that. From a baby bottle to sippin' dog cans, semi tail to Japan, goddamn. No, you ain't fuckin' with that. From all the way Kansas, love some Instagram. I've been chillin' in my before stage. You ain't fuckin' with that. You can either get with the fuckin' program or be the sacrificial lamb to the same. No, you ain't fuckin' with that. Time was flying faster than light inside a vortex. With some shy little guy to red eyes, khakis and Cortez. Spend my time memorizing
calculus. Wait, the next song on the album seems like a fun thematic combination of the first two songs, where it is a storytelling song, and you could tell that.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is very, very clever, like underdog pleading with alpha lyricism for like your rise and fall in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me like a Biggie Smalls like vibe to it. The Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis type.
Right.
Like, this is where I came from, this is where I'm going. You can join the ride, but you don't have an opinion on it.
Right.
It's not up to you. What's your take on that song? Like, where did that come from?
I'm trying to go back and Hate Me. Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot my own track list. Hate Me is, yeah, that's another way fun one, man. It was like same. Just trying to tell a story but doing it in a more fun way. And the beat was so smooth. It was such a cool West Coast vibe on that beat just had to almost come in a little bit more sing songy with it and kind of same shit. Tell my story but do it in my way, kinda, you know what I'm saying? And especially there's a lot of people, whenever you're getting into doing music, there's a lot of fake friends and smiling in people's faces, and you know, people will shake your hand and be like, yeah, this is really dope, and then behind the scenes really hate that fucking song. So that's where Hate Me came from, was I'm just trying to do me, man. Why they want to hate? Just,
yeah, why you want
to
hate
you me? Can either love it or just shut the fuck up and fucking listen to something else, man.
That's one of my favorite tracks too.
Yeah.
Yeah? Why is it your favorite track?
Just because it's so relatable, again, from like he just,
yeah,
it's just pretty much what he said, but in the sense of you put it all in your own type of, you know, you got your own haters, yeah, right? Or the people that don't fuck with you anyway. And just like, I love the way he puts it. I know, is it because I'm better than you, then that's true. You know, yeah, what I'm saying? I feel at times that's like that. And it's fair. Like, and if you want, if you catch that feeling, then, you know, kick rocks.
Yep.
Hate,
yep,
me.
You know? Hate me. I love it. Play that
smooth
here.
Delivery as well.
I got that, spark that genus, a quartet. Special something in March, like make them park and then walk back. To hear the realists say they feel this, cause I'm not that. General fraud that mocks that life that we live inside that. They always stressing the stress in the blue I sport. I'm just keeping it double less, I ain't talking about super sport. Could never settle for less than the best when I press record. So every breath in my chest is a blessing you should adore, yeah. I'm feeling myself like I'm missing. You bitches too busy tripping when you could be hustling with me. I'm simply Ricky, ain't nothing hidden within me. Either love me or feel free to get my dickie a hickey, cuz I ain't changing the game. Your praises ain't saying it'll make me famous. So say what your condemnations. I don't give a defecation about your opinion on the way that I rock. Cause whether you hate it or love it, this right here ain't gonna stop. Nah, I'm just trying to do what the fuck it is that I do. Tell me why you wanna hate me. Shit is crazy, cause I can see why you hate me. It's cause you hate me. They say my ego's too big, and that's probably a fact. Actually it is, but I can't throttle it back. Back in the early
track four, Kindness for Weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. This is one of my favorite instrumentals on the tape.
Yeah.
It's like summery sounding, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a smoky, vibey banger with the same quick, witty lyricism that I've come to expect from Loke. What was the inspiration for like a Kindness for Weakness track? I think you were a feature on it. Levee Breaks, the Ilza Kill song.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, this gave me like serious vibes of that song.
Okay, yeah. I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
one of my favorite Ilza songs. So.
It's it came from just getting taken advantage of. You know, I'm real. I'm real big on helping. You know. Helping people out, like I'm real bad at saying no.
Yeah,
you know, if somebody needs $20 and I got $20 to give, I'm probably gonna give it to them.
Yeah.
And after about the fourth or fifth time that I've given them $20 and they never gave me back a dime, it's like I really got to feel like you're taking my kindness for weakness. Like I'm not a pushover, to say the least. And they could see it with these hands, but I don't like to take it there. So it's like, just don't take my kindness for weakness. I can help you out. And I will. I'll help you out. And then I actually detail, again, I think that's a storytelling track too. It goes back to talking, yep, about my grandma. She was the same way. And I watched her get taken advantage by a lot of fucking people before she passed away. And then my mom, same thing. You know, quick to say yes, really hard to say no. You get taken advantage by people. And so for me, it was me drawing a line in the sand and saying, yes, I will be the rock that'll help you out. But just don't cross that fucking line, you know?
Absolutely.
Take my generosity for granted and you leave in the ground. That sounded
what you be hearing is me squeezes. Blow now you like me, now you fucking with the ring. Always meant to hand to whoever needed the
track number 5, Supposed to Do, featuring Ilza Kill.
Yep.
So this is the album's first feature on the track list, and it's with frequent No Sense collaborator Ilza Kill. I used to be part of the label.
Yep.
Themes that hit me were that determination's a virtue of high regard to you. The beat is wild on this one.
Yep.
And we get a really fun Elevators call out, which is a good nod to like Ilza Kill and your guys' previous work together.
Yep.
So that's fun. This is definitely a banger. Like, this is a party song. Like, this is a rap song you play for your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's, it is a fun track. It stems from the frustrations of doing this shit, because it's really easy to get down on yourself, especially, you know, you feel like you're putting out good content and you feel like you're exceeding the expectations of the industry as a whole right now anyway, and that's not to take shots at what some of the big names in the industry are doing, but it just seems like there's not really a gold standard anymore. And so that's me sitting there telling myself, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Do you want me to do what it is that I do best and be great, or do I need to water myself down to meet expectations of people that I don't give a fuck what they think anyway? Like, it's me just asking the question, what am I supposed to do?
And you know, you see that happening, it's even with a lot of underground rappers that on the come up, or the ones that, you know, you get to be involved with. I mean, you listen to their original material as they start coming up, and they do flip it.
Yeah.
They do flip it because they feel that they obligated to the people to satisfy what they may think that their needs is, without being truly themselves, and start changing little by little. And that's one thing I noticed. I mean, for as long as I know these guys, I mean, that's the reason why they're also on the label, other than being family.
Yeah.
They true to themselves, to what they know. They grown men. They know already what they want and who they are. They're not trying to figure this shit out.
They're delivering. They have their product. This is what you can buy from us. Like, well, if you don't want this, go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Else is serving it for you.
Well, some of it sucks because, I mean, obviously you're providing a product and you want people to like it. So, I mean, if you think about it in terms of, you got a restaurant and you're serving fucking such and such food, if people say your food's shit, then other people ain't gonna want to come and eat at your restaurant. So that sucks, obviously, because I mean, if fucking people, you want people to come and eat at your fucking restaurant, but I'm not gonna fucking stop selling tacos because you want fucking a gyro today or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I sell tacos.
Yeah, you can't just change what you do to please someone else. There's plenty of customers.
I'll give you the best tacos ever. You want a sandwich? Go to Subway.
It's cool. You do your music. You know what I'm saying? For fans, you're doing your music for people. You know what I'm saying? So some of the stuff, you know what I'm saying, you kind of not necessarily switch you up, you know, but you'll throw in little references here and there, you know what I'm saying, so they have something to dig to that they vibe with, you know what I'm saying. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to switch up what I'm doing just so you are going to enjoy it, you know what I'm saying. If you don't enjoy it, go listen to somebody else.
Yeah,
obviously,
absolutely.
Mine's not for you. But, I mean, yeah, throw in some stuff, because you obviously do it for the fans. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's you that's going to
need to be comfortable fans, with it. You know what I mean?
You have to be satisfied.
You can't do this for Drake's fans.
Right.
You can't go do this for Jordan Lucas's fans.
You know, we want to get
that's true. But you want to be your fans.
If you don't feel comfortable with what you spit just to spit it to fucking sell an album, you're doing it for the wrong reason, bro.
I want to be satisfied.
Right, yeah. You got to be satisfied.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Keeping yourself within your own image, you know, not changing your image for somebody else as well.
Right, because they're going to like you because of what you're spitting about.
Exactly.
And if they don't, then...
then find another...
That's
was I supposed to sit around and wait for them to give me everything that I've been needing in my lifetime? Scratching my fork against an empty plate, starving so hard my stomach aches, just call it fate and smile like I'm fine. Tired of staying patient when the weight is on my shoulders, activates all of the wrong inside of my mind. Aggravated, ready to amputate any appendage that extends in the vicinity of my knife. Babies need bacon and eggs and time is wasted. I'm face to face with the scathing reality that is my rhymes. May never break the bank in this gravy. A daily I stay in the basement drinking, perfecting these lifelines. Am I dedicated or delusional? So many saying that the Duke of Flow.
Spit incantations of the jewels. Dope, but if they don't play it, then who would know?
Yo, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to change us? I'm spitting like the rest of these neighbors. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to hang up the tower to the people I gave up? What the fuck am I supposed to do? When I'm addicted to spitting lyrics, sitting on with a piece of my spirit. Yo, what the fuck am I supposed to do? What the fuck am I supposed to do? What the fuck?
They say that I'm ill, but can I do something mainstream? Never gonna get a deal if they don't feel they can gain green. Instead of speaking the truth inside the music I'm making, gotta create a movement based on bullshit, cause they think the people are stupid and there's some truth to the statement.
Track 6 is called Misfit Youth, which at first got me as like a party song, which it still kind of is. It's smooth, you can smoke a 20 sack of homegrown to it, which is like what the song is for me, right? The auditory flashback to when you guys were my age.
Right.
The drum progression, layered vocals, equally layered lyrics, take me right there to days of fucking around, listening to music, smoking weed with my friends.
Yep.
Like it's that like type of vibe for me.
Yeah.
What are you guys up to at 20?
At 20,
just tearing it up.
You know, yeah. At 20, I was still fucking getting fucked up, but I was already at the mines too. So I mean, I was working at the mine, but I was still fucking smoking heavy.
Yeah.
So like every, and I never carried around no piss or nothing. I just fucking got lucky and didn't fucking fail. I drink a lot of water and hope that I was clean, man. Yeah. But yeah. No, that song was way fun too, because it was just another. I'd love to go back and tell all these fucking stories, man, because for the most part, they are all true stories. I may change a word here or there just to fucking fit the rhyme scheme and shit like that. But for the most part, they're true stories, and that's what's way fun about it, because me and my homeboy fucking Wacko that I speak about in that song, we did. I was on house arrest, had to jump out the window, would run up to his house, get fucked up. We'd fucking play Contra and fucking watch Cops. And then we'd go fucking party up, and this is down in Arizona, back behind the middle school, out in the desert. We'd go fucking at GMS, man, Gardner Middle School. We'd go party out there, get all fucked up. So that's what's dope about this song. And it was real fun for me to be able to tell those stories. And, you know, it's basically giving shout outs to people who helped make me who I am. You know what I'm saying? Because those are memories that stick out in my mind. And obviously they stuck out in my mind well enough to make me want to fucking solidify it and make it to where it's, you know, on a song that can live forever. Yeah. Not just in my mind. Other people
hundreds
can hear
of
these
years
stories.
From now, like,
right.
Huh. Him and his friend Wacko did this thing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I love that song. I love the beat too. That's one of my favorite ones. And the hook. That's one of my favorite songs, I think, too, on the album. That's
very well put together.
Yeah.
So just a quick aside on hooks, I guess. Is that all you? Are you outsourcing
as for
much
hooks?
Or at all?
No, hooks.
The lyrics or the music?
Me. The music, the actual instrumentals and everything, yeah, I was outsourcing on all those.
Sure,
but,
yeah, the releases, but
all hooks, any with the exception of probably Gangsta, any singing vocal that you hear on any of my stuff is going to be me.
Damn.
It goes with any of the harmonies. You'll see on, I'll start shooting you some of the newer stuff too, that way you can check it out.
Yeah, of course.
Once, because Gabe's going to be mixing down all that too. But you'll see the progression on those hooks as well. Like it's, everything you hear on LODB is basically a starting point for what is to come. Because I mean, the hook game is going crazier, lyrics are just getting crazier, and
yeah, hooks are hard. But
even on the
hooks.
Mix and mastering, like I have more fun mixing his hooks now, because they complicated in a way, you know, where now you got this variety of melodies, sounds, you know, his flow and all these combinations, you know, everything together. It's not just, you know, you got your backgrounds and your lips and then just your verse. It's completely different, but it's fun to do it. You can hear the progress. And
there's times whenever I feel bad. I feel bad sending him hooks sometimes, because there's 14 vocal tracks. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, it looks bad. It looks worse than what it is. It's going to be a minute.
Yeah, it's fun for him.
And he's fucking getting better and better with it too. I mean, by the end, by the end of mixing this project, because he did the majority of these songs on LODB. Gabe did all, no one else did all the fucking main vocal production and everything on it. It was getting to the point where I'd send him one and he'd send it back in one take. It. I'd be like, oh, that's it. That's good. And he's like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, no, it's good. You did. That's it. Tits. Good job.
Yeah. That is dope.
Yeah, it made me feel good. You know, to be like, that's one of the biggest things too. Like, I was really excited when all this stuff was coming out. Like as within the moment, right?
Yeah. But
just to get to this point and then being more involved in what I thought I would have been on this project, it was it was just the whole thing was awesome, you know what I mean? It took as long as it did, but it's there, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, and it was my fault. It was my fault that it took that long. Fucking, I would fail at fucking, I kept moving on, and like I said, he got up to 40 tracks. I just kept adding songs. At one point, it was going to be a double album. Like, in my head, it was a double album, dude. That was the plan. And then I'm finally like, I just keep on adding and adding and adding, and I'm like, dude, we need to fucking solidify this fucker and just put it the fuck out.
Yeah, dude, I totally relate on that. I have a huge issue with that.
Dude, I'm bad.
I mostly write comedy songs and like parody stuff for podcasts. But over the course of a week, if I'm supposed to make like a song for the show, I'll make like, I'll write 4 or 5 or 6.
Right.
I'll download like what I will need for backing tracks.
So you don't count your bars. You just keep going.
Yeah, dude, I just keep going. Get it right.
Right?
Yeah. My phone's full of like just written words.
Oh, yeah.
I've not even gotten close to recording.
Yep.
And that's what my issue is. At least you're like making almost a full song, right? And like got it there. You do that 40 times.
Yep.
I just can't stop writing. Like,
no, me too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Me too. I skip on. Like, there's a bunch. I feel like an asshole a lot of times because there'll be stuff that I need to do and it doesn't fucking strike me in that moment. You know what I'm saying? So I'll just, I move on to the next and then make another song. And then somebody's like, then I post it. And then they're like, well, what the fuck happened with this one? It's coming up. My bad. You know?
Like, I forgot the priority of this
cue. Now, what we gonna do right here? We gonna go back. Way back. Back into time days when I was young, not a kid anymore. Some days I still wish I was a kid again.
Like 14 at the latest, I think. At the back of the class with a regular pad that I would plaster with ink. A couple tags that I would tag, but mainly scandalous me. And Smokey V would hit the weed as mom hid under the sink. And every bottle in the cabinet we'd have is a drink. Then puke on the carpet and vacuum it so casually. So gradually, we saved enough lunch money and we got our own. A 20 sack of homegrown and some 40 songs. Popped the cap in the chest of that old English. Listening to Eazy-E and the loonies hitting the green. Then dip, dip, dive. So socialized with the homies from the 20 that roll from below the 5. Every corner we turned, we were getting live. Back in the day when we couldn't drive and the automobile was the only ride. Right around the time that pocket dropped to live and die.
So track 7, we're finally at AA.
Yep.
We just listened to Misfit Youth. Again, a great song. AA brings in being like just an instantly gritty bells and bass encapsulating tone that feeds like all of the energy to you as soon as Loke's vocals hit the microphone. Thematically presented as a battle with alcohol, but relatable to other people as we've talked about already. Like, it's maybe my favorite song in the track list, but definitely responsible for my favorite bar from the album, which is fucked up and I can't help it. I'm feeling helpless. I won't give it up because I'm selfish. That's just one of my favorite things.
Yeah, that line still gives me chills, dude. It gave me chills right now.
But
now
when I was messing with shit, I'm selfish. Yeah, it's so good.
Just keep, I keep replaying that part too. Yeah. Like, I want to get this right there.
Yeah, I keep going back. I was like, I'm going to listen to the setup of this. The internal rhymes were insane. Like, the F and S's worked so well, dude. Like, I'm such a big fan of the.
That's so slick. Yeah. When he ends up the part, he goes,
I've had those moments, right? Where you just do a take and you're like,
That's definitely, like I said, that's got to be the most. The song that hits me the hardest on the album, you know, it's like I said, you just gave me chills. Hearing you say my words gave me chills. And I mean, I've cried drunk to that song before. You know what I'm saying? Sitting there and be like, oh, like, ain't you just a piece of shit right now at 8 o'clock in the morning, been up all night, you know? And that's happened before. But no, it's a great song. It was a great way for me to like highlight that issue in my brain so I could start making steps, because I've definitely gotten better. There was a point whenever I was every day just slugging, you know, and it was, and I was very good at it. Good at drinking beer, really good.
Like,
great tolerance for it. Fucking, I could put down the numbers. You know what I'm saying? I felt good about it until it started getting in the way. Once DUIs start coming and shit like that, you know.
Once it just starts impacting other parts of your life, you can spend money on it outside of a hobby.
Exactly, dude.
For sure.
Because I mean, and it sucks too. Because I love. Whenever I'm making music, I love to have that little bit of buzz. You know, it's fun. It may, you know, it turns it into a moment when you're sitting there and you're sipping a little bit and you're fucking toying around with ideas and making those songs. But it can quickly become a fucking problem. And it's me trying to fucking put the lid on that and just kick myself in the ass and get rid of that fucking problem.
I love it. So yeah, before you guys listen to this next song, either celebrate your sobriety or open a beer.
Yes.
Yep.
Everybody be hollering, trying to wake me up. But in my sweet sedated slumber state, I may be stuck. Sipping on liquor, no longer only to make me buzz. I can't believe that my DNA is trying to break me, cuz they say that it's a disease, but I don't believe it, bruh. At least it ain't amphetamines that I be crazy for. And yet it's making me fiend for it on the daily. I'm missing time with my babies, my hazy, cuz of my crazy love. I'm fucked up and I can't help it. I'm feeling helpless, won't give it up cuz I'm selfish. Disregarding the effects of my health, it's a problem that never gets dealt with. And I'm aware of the effects it's having on my relationships, but still keep it simmering all up in the pot. I've lost count of the opportunities I may have dropped, cause I was busy, hungover, wasting my day, laid on the couch, no doubt. But even though I recognize that I'm shot, I still don't have it in my plans to stop. So why not go out another one and take a sip? Know I should quit, but it's just so good once it hits your lips. Just let me drift into that warm and welcome abyss. I'm not addicted to something that I'll never admit. I'm not a fucking alcohol now.
Alright, we're on Moonlight, track 8, featuring Kung Fu Vampire. This is the first single I was aware of off the record. I'm not sure if it was the first single.
I think it was the first one that actually got released.
Was it?
This one was added to the project kind of late in the track listing because we didn't really have a home for it. It was going to go on one of the mixtapes. And
compilation.
Yeah, it was going to be on the compilation.
Okay.
But so it was a late addition. But it fit in perfect. That's why it ended up sticking. It fit the tone of the album so far, and it just sat in there right perfect. So we were like, oh, that's the tone now. That's where it goes.
Nice. Yeah.
Plus, I was severely lacking on features. I'm real bad at that too, about reaching out specifically for a song and being like, hey, this song is for my album. Will you jump on it? I kind of get in go mode and just start writing songs and doing the hooks. Unless we're sitting in there together. Like now, me and Sleek, we're in the studio together all the time. So you know, it's constant.
Looking forward to that.
It's constant fucking, hey, you're gonna do a verse on this, or you know, I'll send shit to him that I've been doing, and he'll be like, well, what's that empty spot? Is that mine, or is that, like, yep, fucking take it. But that's why Moonlight ended up on here, and you know, it's a dope song, dude. All around, it's a dope song.
Kung Fu Vampire, who leads the group Kung Fu Vampire, he's really talented.
Oh, yeah.
His lyricism matches your lyricism.
Yep.
Like, you're both fast, you're both clever, and there's tons of internal rhyme schemes through both of yours. It can be weird when the features are like differently weighted.
Yeah.
Earlier you were talking about sort of rappers who prove themselves, they fight really hard, and then they get to the top, and they're just like, well, I'll make what will make me more money.
Right.
So a rapper that I'm outspoken about, completely disappointed me, is Logic. His earlier works so much more ambitious than anything he's made when people were actually listening to him.
Right.
And it's just sad.
Yeah.
And like, you're especially not like that. Your whole discography. Kung Fu Vampire is another one of those guys who just keeps ramping it up.
Yep.
And I don't think success is going to make either of you worse at your job like it does some people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and he's fucking, he's an amazing performer too, man. I mean, we had him, we did a show with him at the, yeah, it was at the Cowboys, I believe, that one.
Cool.
And I mean, just crazy stage presence. I mean, he's such a fucking small guy, you don't realize that when you see him in pictures, but he's just this little fucking guy, but he's packed with fucking dynamite,
good
man.
People,
good fucking dude. Good fucking dude, man.
Good to know.
Go up and work. Do more work with them in the future.
Yeah.
Trying to get him over here. I already reached out to him, and we'll see where his tour takes him. But hopefully we'll have him again here in Elko.
I should be doing this shit at your guys' shows beforehand.
You should.
15-20 minutes with an artist real quick.
Definitely.
We got a good... See, we're not doing shows as often as we used to.
Yeah.
But I think that the quality of the artists as well is going up.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Twistello coming on the way from New York, and Rich Tycoon, which is one of the legends from the Bay Area.
Rich Tycoon's gonna be very fun.
And that would be pretty nice, you know what I'm saying? Like having, it's just another, you know, for yourself, come in, fucking meet these guys.
Just come in,
yeah,
you know,
it'd be really dope. We definitely need to do that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
When the sun goes down and the lights go out, don't make a sound. Night is when you find me, I'm my body in the sky, I'm on.
From Nevada to the Bay, in the attic could decay in a matter of time. Look up at the same moon in another phase. You can escapade goon, and I'm guaranteed to do the crime. Pretty soon it's gonna be a Tesla sky on an Apple Sun and an Uber jet. Elon Musk on a rocket. Facial recognition in my pocket. A visionary, but I gotta literally cock it. Put it in your mouth at the office. Speaking on the mountain top of Costa. Everybody looking for a private, but I ain't the one. I for the silence, no time for the violence. A prophet to raise, the lion has come. Softer than tissue on tyrants, I'm numb.
Yeah, these guys are gangsters, right? Track number 9. Gangsta.
Yeah.
A curveball, musically.
Yeah.
Started off sounding charming, sweet, and chill, and I knew the title was Gangsta, so I was immediately thrown off of my axis. And it's well positioned in the middle of the album, too. Or like, right after the middle, but you can tell it starts to lead in the end saga. Like, your end game, per se, starts here.
Right.
I'm smoking weed at my house right before coming up here, because that's what I'm always doing. Listening to music and stuff, just vibing out, dude, in my studio. And I was starting to pull away, like, physically. Like, I'm moving farther from the speakers. I'm smoking weed over here now. And then the song starts, and it just got me so fucking intrigued.
Yeah.
And it pulled me back in completely. Like, the lyrics include contentious recollections of conflicts in your life, while maintaining a positive perspective, which I love. Speaking for all the dudes who fall upward by focusing on goals and leaning on good friends, it's like another youthful anthem you made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it. Like, the thug life, dude.
Yeah.
Another story, too. Another story.
One of my personal favorites on the album as well.
Yeah, pop up here.
One of my personal favorites on the album as well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that one...
We had a show in Salt Lake, last year?
Last year, yeah.
Like, pretty much...
He forced me. He's like, you're performing
that. Yeah. You're definitely doing that.
Yep. Yeah, it was a fun track, man. And I think that's the only one that I didn't do the hook.
I thought that was you.
No, that one's...
I knew I was hoping you would outsource one of the other ones, but that was your single.
Right.
Piece.
Yeah, no, that one... Brianna Marin killed it. That's one of the ones that... It's another one that's really hard. That's one that we ended up having issues with. With the whole lease process, because I don't really like to grab beats that already have pre-hooks on them and everything like that. But that one was just so dope that I had to, and I grabbed it. And then again, storytelling. I thought it was a fun one. The vibe was fucking killer. Summertime vibe like crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely a good one to smoke to. And then just the stories. I really enjoyed the stories, because, and again, there's little change ups here and there, but for the most part, fucking all true stories as well, dude. Like, fucking, the only thing I didn't tell the teacher I was gonna fucking, I didn't grab my dick and look at the teacher or nothing like that. That part's for fucking show. Yeah. But there was an exact situation that inspired that verse where a teacher or a student was fucking bagging on fucking one of my friends who was already out of school. You know, it was gang member shit.
Yeah.
And they were out doing thug shit. And one person in the class was fucking making comments. So I jump up and I'm fucking ready. And I'm yelling in the middle of the class. And the fucking teacher starts yelling at me, get out. And I'm like, nah, fuck you. You know, flip the bitch off. Yeah. But anyway, I used a little bit of creative fucking creative references for that one, but it's a fun song. I really enjoy that song.
It is. The coolest part about that thing is, like, if you actually listen to the lyrics, it can put you right there. Like, you're just having these little sitcoms in your head, you know, these little episodes of what he's saying.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Like, right there. It's awesome. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
My teacher stood up at the front of the class. Said, Ricky Boats, I don't think you're gonna pass. You're such an ass, you never pay attention. Distant look, your eyes are so glassed over. You might as well just get out my class. Grover just gave a little glance in my direction. Knew I was high on that grass. Stoned to the Cheech and Chong, red man, and took Cal Soldier. I reached down in my pants and grabbed a handful of what made me a man. Told her that all she had to do was just ask for it. Don't get up on my dick teaching me shit that I'ma never use. The Pythagorean theorem ain't gonna help make me a better dude. I'm better off just skipping school and making a buck. I mean, fuck, the only good thing about your program is lunch. She looked stunned and said, I'm giving you the tools to survive in the real world. I said, if you can't do your taxes, then you need to chill, girl. And then I walked right
moving on, track 10, Doja.
Yes, sir.
Man, that was...
Okay,
I don't think I've... Doja. Yeah, it's a good, very catchy song. I didn't... I don't think I've ever seen Doja written out. So when I first read it, I was like, I don't know what this means.
Yep.
I'm not a particularly stupid person. I smoke a lot of weed. But this one flew right over my head.
Yeah.
I didn't get it at all. And then I heard it, I'm like, oh, okay, Doja. Gotcha. So every rapper has like their songs about smoking weed.
Right.
You get a couple mentions of it in here, but this is like the weed song of the album.
Right.
It's joined my playlist on SoundCloud of like Too High by Little Dicky, Because I Got High by Afro Man, any Snoop Dogg song.
Right.
It's just like my smoking with my friends.
Right.
Playlist.
Yep.
It's perfect for that, man.
Laid back vibes.
Reminds me of Blowin' O's, which is Crossfade made when he was working with No Sense.
Yep. Yep. So. Yeah, and that was absolutely the intention, was to be that song that you would fucking, you know, put in like the 420 playlist that you were gonna fucking, that you were gonna rock on fucking 420 of the year at 420, both at fucking PM and AM, you know what I'm saying? That was meant to be that fucking, that weed song, but fucking also I wanted to hit it hard lyrically too and just make it not only just a dope fucking cool ode to the fucking trees, but a good lyrical one as well, you know what I'm saying? And funky. The hook came out dope, man. I love the way that the effects came out on the hook. Everything just kind of came together really well on that one, dude.
So, Bird, you're from California, and you haven't spoken much on this, but this song's about weed.
So it is.
Do you have an opinion about that?
About songs about weed or this song about weed?
This song about weed.
I think this song about weed is pretty good. I don't know. I smoked a lot of weed too.
He's clearly the comedian. He's clearly the comedy relief until we get into like history guests of this thing. Because you're really not much help.
No, I know nothing.
But you look pretty in the No Sense hat.
It looks great.
Yeah, you're wearing a vest and shit. Right,
you both look hella dope rocking that gear right there.
Oh, dude, I'm a big fan.
Hell yeah.
I'll end this podcast with plugs to you guys' stuff.
And fuck yeah, dude. Like, thank you.
Sponsored by No Sense. And
you already know, just keep hitting me up and we'll keep suiting you up.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah. I need new clothes. I'm very poor.
There you go.
Everything in my closet right now, all my clothing, joggers and sponsored merch from people.
Fuck yeah.
So if it's not your guys' stuff, it's like podcasts.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, you fuck Walmart.
Walking bulletin board, dude. That's
what
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you need to
we
be.
We got a lot more. We got some gear coming out for to help advertise also his album. LODB is going to be different print, but still with his logo.
Sweet. Yeah. Looking forward to it. I can't wear the Breathe the Loke merch I have around because it's a bandana.
Oh, yeah.
I look like I would do a crime with it.
Right.
So, because I can't wear the hat and the bandana at the same time. Yeah. Still enticing violence.
Smoke up, bitch. To another planet, if you wanna hit it, I'll pass it upon the left side. Let me go around while listening to the chronic, let's ride. Get high, you take away from what's been running through my mind all the time. Just recline and see my worries left behind. I'm tryna fly away from all of this trauma and find my cloud now. We smoke a joint, 10 think it's right about time. I'm elevated and elevated, my mouth wide, smiling in the end like a child when they write their first line. Yeah, I don't think they're trying to understand me. This bag is more fullier than what you can't stand me. Pass me the green, I need some weed with my Hennessy. I'm fucking climb to smoke a weed, the locust is a memory, yeah.
Rolling up that Doja, we're smoking till I'm frozen up.
Feel me feeling like I'm touching the sky.
That purple throat so potent, my third eye starts to open up.
I swear this shit could be so therapeutic. Just a split in a little music, something to groove with. Urbanist movement, feel like a perv when I do it. But I let it hit it from the back and let my homies do it. I'm moving in slow motion, I'm coasting on. Did you notice? Floating on your ocean, I'm focused on going forward. Approaching a new plateau, overloaded from what I'm smoking. Middle finger to Trump and the toast, my fucking soldiers. I'm Sony, it's more to show when I show out in Encino. Trying to waste the juice on my life, cup of light in my fucking soap. But tonight I'm trying to get higher than flesh. Just a sign of hope, night and fire, the purple stroke.
Still enticing violence.
Yeah, for real. Speaking of enticing violence, track 11, Long Way to Go.
Yeah.
Clearly all about violence.
Yeah.
No, but So this song is great too. The hook, the instrumentals, your floaty style, they all come together in a breezy but weighted 2010 kind of musical odyssey for me. It felt very recovery level Eminem.
Yeah, that's a good fucking, that's a good comparison, dude.
Yeah, dude, the intensity you rap, the depth of your words matched to like a poppy and larger than life instrumental.
Yeah.
Feels like it should be mainstream popular, a la Love the Way You Lie or an NF song.
Yep.
We actually got that track on the radio.
Yeah, that one was played. Yeah.
There you go. It was the one I listened to out of all of them where I was like, underground and mainstream are just different in some ways. And you just tell that this song is like, this would be a better mainstream song.
Right.
Yeah.
Telling it, that it was the one on the radio.
For quite some time.
And it was definitely a step outside of the box for me too, because I remember whenever I first made it, I'd sent it to Gabe and I was like, hey, this one is way different, but let me know what you think and let me know if you think I should continue on with it. And I think it might have not even been completed. And excuse me. And just because I was incorrect, that hook is not me as well. That is the other one that I did not do the hook.
Okay.
But, I mean, I sing it live. Whenever we do the live performances, I sing the hook live. But it was one that came pre-made with the hook, and I just never went back and got the raw instrumental and redid it. But because it just sounded too good already. But, yeah, that one was really fun, and I don't cuss at all on it, so that was nice, too, to have that.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
like,
there's absolutely no cuss words on that song. And it wasn't forced that way, either. It just kind of happened that way. So that was really cool. And it's one of those cool ones that, like, I feel like anybody can listen to and should be able to relate to it, because, I mean, there's so much bad shit happening that we do got a long way to go before we're like, at peak humanity, you know what I'm saying? This isn't our fucking final evolution. It can't be, dude, because fucking...
No, we're
fucking shitbags.
We're going to stop people from playing Fortnite.
Yeah, oh, fuck.
At least before we settle on evolution.
Fucking PUBG.
It's interesting that I thought immediately had like an NF vibe, and it happens to be the song on the album without cursing.
Yeah.
It's like his thing, because he doesn't cuss.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a purposeful thing either. It's not like I sat there and was like, don't cuss. It just didn't. Yeah, it just came out like that.
Don't,
so that's kind of cool.
Radio edit.
Yep, no radio edits.
That's awesome. So I'll play that song real quick.
Imagine if we actually loved each other unconditionally. Instead of simply living, we focused on making history. We planted the seed of knowledge instead of spreading the misery that constantly flashes across the screens of televisions. We put love and family first and forgot about our dependency on currency and let our hearts and minds float independently. The only mission we saw as worthy of time we spent was the uplifting of the people, no matter status, religion, creed. See, this can be more than a dream state, and we can change our direction from a species that breeds hate into something that's beautiful to see. You see, take the first breath, the first step. The first step that we take is looking in the mirror, viewing ourselves through a clearer lens, learning that there's much more to living life than the dividends. Real wealth comes from the time you spend with your dearest friends. We haven't made it yet, but I can't wait until it begins. Yeah.
Track 12, I'm Gone. So I didn't expect to be more impressed than Long Way to Go. And albums usually end with extended tracks, lighter efforts, throwaways, you know. But right here, it just turns back on.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're on the first two songs again.
Hell yeah.
Which is really cool. Like, what was the process with I'm Gone? The lyrics are tight. Like, they're very packed and they're very, like...
Yeah. It's kind of more of a... It's not complete double time, but there's a lot of double time portions in there and everything.
Yeah.
And it was definitely my motivational track for myself. Like, fucking, I'm gonna fucking be here until I'm fucking gone, and you can tell them, fuck them, I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We're gonna grind this out. We're gonna make something out of this, regardless of what it ends up fucking being. Whether we make a fucking sandcastle or it's fucking Castle Grayskull, dude, we're gonna make something fucking out of this shit and fucking. At that moment, you can tell, fuck it, I'm gone. You know, that's basically it. It was just, it's, oh, and I got to fucking shout out fucking the Paula Abdul line too, because I I did have to borrow a little fucking harmony from Paula Abdul from Straight Up on the third verse, because huge fan fucking of Paula Abdul and fuck, oh, just all fucking old music period, like 80s music.
Cool,
like, dude,
that's
hell yeah.
Just throw in some Paula Abdul in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just sang along, or used a couple of harmonies from one of her songs, you know, and just sang to it. But yeah, because, like, you know, I don't listen to a lot of fucking newer hip hop and shit. Whenever I get drunk, I'm almost, you know, older R&B or R&B. Fucking, you know, I there's a lot of hip hop still mixed in there as well. But yeah, like, that's my drunk zone, is like fucking 80s and 90s R&B pop fucking shit.
And we dancing.
And we dancing and singing, all drunk as shit.
So let me throw on some Party All the Time. Party All the Time.
That's my shit. That's my shit.
Party All the Time. Are you too young, Bird?
Eddie Murphy killed that.
So yes, know what that is?
Yeah, no idea what that
means. No idea.
Fuck you, Eddie.
But yeah, dude, I'm Gone is just as hungry as Son of Sam.
Yeah.
Mixing dick jokes with double speed lines and focusing on the finish line. I love it.
Thank
great
you.
Great song. LODB,
mm-hmm.
A heavy final attack to doubters. The ethos of the album, Last of a Dying Breed, seems to be brought full circle. One listen, and like you're living in our ranks,
mm-hmm.
like you say. The wordplay is in orbit, the statement is clear. You're going to stay in motion. You're a singular personality, unique to your region, and incredibly put together. That you're a talent, an alien with inalienable talent.
Hell yeah.
Is sort of my take.
That's fucking awesome fucking take, dude.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said it fucking better myself. Fucking, yeah, that was the instrumental's epic, dude. The fucking, from the, you know, it's got everything. It's got strings. It's got fucking piano. It's got fucking, you know, crazy ass fucking guitar solo and shit. Like, it's an awesome fucking song, dude. And that's where the basis came from. It. I heard the instrumental, and a lot of times you can get almost intimidated by something with so much going on like that, because the instrumental itself is already almost a song in and of itself.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Like, what am I gonna do on this song to even make it fucking better?
And you always want to ride with the instrumental,
right,
with the music it's providing you,
right,
not like go over it or fight it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool because it ended up not even being hard to write. It just came out fucking the, I was really satisfied with that one. And it just fit so fucking perfectly at the end of the album. It closed it out perfect for me. It was like, all right, that's it, it's done. No need for an outro after that, you know?
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
I loved it.
Well, that's the album.
Yes, sir.
Last of a Dying Breed.
Yes, sir.
Breed the Loke. We got Breed the Loke here, of course. It's been great talking to you, man.
Thank you for even fucking wanting to come and do this, man.
Sleek, Illinois.
Thank you, sir.
Love you, man. No one else.
No one else.
The dude behind No Sense.
Yes, sir. Fucking definitely doesn't. I mean, we always give him credit, but just I don't think everybody else sees exactly how much and understands exactly how much work this fucking guy does. You know, it's fucking it's. It's even if we could fucking turn around and give him all the credit, it would still be an understatement as to fucking how much work he puts into this shit.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I produce a bunch of stuff and all the people like behind stage or setting up the venue in the first place.
Yep.
Like all of the background stuff does tend to go unnoticed. Like, we all know who Eminem is, and a lot of people know who Paul Rosenberg is.
Right.
But it's hard to get people to know anyone else in that room, you know. And they should have credit too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, dude.
And see, a lot of the time too, Eminem, Paul could be rolling with him, and
No
one's gonna be like, "Oh, hey, Paul, what's up?"
Right. Yeah, nobody
you know. I mean,
and I'm okay with that in a sense, like as long as the right people knows what I've done.
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
Yeah.
That's what I love about you. Very humble.
That's enough for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of people are. I mean, like, it kind of hurts sometimes to see that you're not getting that shout out, or you might not be getting when it should be due. You know.
Yeah.
But am I gonna catch feelings every time that something like that happens? Man, then I shouldn't be doing this. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're the last of it.
As long as my people. Yeah. As long as my people is good with me, I'm good with them, and that's it.
Yep. You know?
That's awesome. That's great. Where can we find you specifically on socials, Reed?
Fuck. Let's see.
I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, you got me on. I know you're on my Twitter. Fucking.
Is it just there's like a hyphen maybe?
I gotta get the specifics just cause I'm kinda fucked up. Whenever I set all my shit up, I didn't make it uniform and easy. I had to be fucking difficult for myself. Fucking, well that ain't it.
I'm mostly just
The easiest way is go to nosenserecords.com. Go to his artist page and there's music there. There's gonna be merchandise coming up there soon, uploaded. And it'll also route you through all of his social media.
But I think the only one that's different actually is the Twitter. I think Twitter's Breed the Locust, spelled like the fucking plague of locusts. Fucking my Instagram is just Breed the Loc, BREEDTHALOC. And then on Facebook, just search up Breed the Loc and I'm right there. I'm the only one that fucking pops up. So
awesome. It's dope, dude. I'm excited for the future of your projects and everything Nosense has. Can't wait to be sitting down doing this with you, Sleek.
Right.
His shit's just about done. Fucking, we got shit.
We got Cassius King coming on the label now.
Cassius King's coming. Shout out Cassius.
Well known, I mean, on the Bay, you know, from California. I mean, he's been doing this for a while as well. Slick's new projects are coming up. That actually got one together.
We got a collaborative project that's going to be dropping here real soon. It's actually pretty much done. We just need to get the final mix master.
Yeah, shout out to J-Ray.
Yep, shout out J-Ray. He'll be a
local artist right
here. He'll be here performing tonight.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll be great. He's also at an artist page at NoSenseRecords.com.
He's on NoSenseRecords.com as well. France as well.
Since he's had the baby, but he's still NoSense Records.
Yep. Yeah, he's just chilling. He's chilling, doing the new baby thing, so that's fun.
It's awesome. Yeah, it'll give him some more stories.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people have much stronger music after like families and shit.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite Tech 9 song is The Rain.
Oh, yeah, dude.
His family and the way that his success has impacted that.
Yep.
And I'm all about the stories, all about the deep stuff.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
That's just so they know. I want one thing before we close this out. You're still going to look for comedians to battle our rappers, dude.
Oh yeah, I want to get like some comedians, whether just like some improv guys or some stand-up guys, people I know that are podcasters, and just like have them rap battle against you guys.
Yeah,
because you know how to rap battle and they're funny.
Right, that'd be
I
cool.
Think that'd make for a cool event.
Yeah,
right?
That'd be cool. It's just
I might walk out humbled.
That's what I was saying. But what's this comedians start pulling some good rhyme schemes? You know,
walk out of here, just be all types of fucking not pissed, but just
he got murdered.
Your next album's like stomping. I used to think I was funny.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, well, I think it'd be a cool thing to do.
It would. It'd be fun. That'd be
working
fun.
Together, you know, doing something different.
Yeah.
For sure. If you ain't having fun, what are you doing?
Not having fun.
Right.
That is what. Yeah. That's about right. All right, guys. This has been What You Doing. Bird, do you have any final words? Do you want to talk to any of them?
not specifically. I'm just really happy to have been here and gotten to listen to your music, and thanks.
No, fucking thank you, because your fucking input has been phenomenal.
Thank you. I know there wasn't much of it.
No, it was what was there was fucking tits.
Awesome. All right, guys, we'll wrap this in our noisy hookah lounge setting.
Yeah. Shout out to that dog that was wandering around.
Yeah, that dog was the shit.
Smokey Vibes.
Smokey Vibes letting us do this shit here.
Smokey Vibes and Elko. It's on some address on Commercial Street. If you make it to Elko, Google will help you. All right. Yeah. Peace out.
Mate. Peace.
Thanks, man.
Nice.
That was dope.
Stuck on my grind for a long time now. Still hoping eventually I can shine down. Hold my people like I possess the divine crown. The wise housing, what's ain't important, cause it's my time now. I bow, never as clever as ever. Forever rapper of freshness and never be one of my styles. I'm now about to take you high as nine clouds. On cloud nine, whenever I grip the mic while I climb mounts. Like Everest, competitors should quiet down. I pound the beat like Tyson fighting in his prime. Wow, opening minds with a slight smile. A flick of my tongue and they running, coming like I was eating it Dyke style. That mean I'm good with it, my hood ingrained my lifestyle. That's word to whack a one. If you didn't know, then you might now. That double S raised me. It's crazy that life comes right round. From killing my brain to elevating minds with my rhymes out. If you can comprehend it, you might see I'm the last of a dying breed. Probably won't see me on your TV screen, but I'm the last of a dying breed. Feel free to hate me if you don't like me. I'm the last of a dying breed. A dying breed. I'm the last of a dying breed. A dying breed. The last, I'm the last of a dying breed. One listening, I'm living up in your brain. Trying to stimulate every sense until it can't be contained. And you realize every sentence I'm penning is insane. Relevance is irrelevant. Be a legend in the game without the fame. By the time I'm laid to rest, they can recognize my name. And praise the day I was made. Celebrate the words I sang. The realness that I displayed could never be downplayed. Gave them every piece of my pain, it can never be in vain, cause I can change the perception, be the compass to the direction, be the one to make a connection, be the one cursed by a blessing, of being cursed with a certain essence, that gave birth to a effing death wish, to any and all of those opposing the breed, going straight to the upper echelon, and owning the moment, now hold it, you can't control it, or slow its motion, it's no sense, we'll breed the locust, the locomotive, if you can comprehend it, you might see, I'm the last of a dying breed. Probably won't see me on your TV screen, but I'm the last of a dying breed. Feel free to hate me if you don't like me. I'm the last of a dying breed. A dying breed. I'm the last of a dying breed. A dying breed. The last, I'm the last of a dying breed. I'm more than a wordsmith, more than a person. More than some words in a verse that's conversing in cursive. More than imperfect, more than descriptions you've heard. I'm more than berserk, bitch. I'm more than a lust, sipping liquor, division is blurry. I'm more than the earth, it's like I'm here for the purpose. A birth in the universe will spit a spit if they're worthy. It seems like a couple eons we've been on this journey. But I'ma keep being me until I'm laid on the gurney. You heard me, until I'm buried. The burn to the fury of flames and they retire my jersey. I'ma keep ripping absurdly, flipping the birdie to those that wanna hurt me. No mercy, I'm running it like it's the fucking Kentucky Derby. I'm thirsty for what I deserve. Heat is what I've been serving since 13 to my early 30s. I've been preserving the legacy of the shit that birthed me. So all the other bullshit doesn't concern me. Sincerely yours, Bree. And I'm the last one, you fucker. If you can comprehend it, you might see I'm the last of a dying breed. Probably won't see me on your TV screen, but I'm the last of a dying breed. Feel free to hate me if you don't like me. I'm the last of a dying breed. A dying breed. I'm the last of a dying breed. A dying breed. I'm the last of a dying breed. I mean, there ain't too many left, man. I'm part of a fucking slim species, man. An endangered motherfucking species. Who gives a fuck about what the fuck we say when we hit these fucking beats, dog? Why you peddling bullshit? Stop peddling that bullshit. Stop paying for bullshit. You can bring us back. I mean, I'm one of the last ones. Me and my team and a select few others, dog. Help keep us alive, cause when we die, our art is all that lives on. Peace.